Glad that you're here this morning, and I must humbly confess that for the first time since I have been here, I have actually, with my heart, rooted for a Bay Area team. Yeah, it's a very humbling experience. If the Twins were in the World Series, it'd be a different story. But when you grow up as a Vikings fan, losing routinely to the Niners, it just makes you bitter. It's hard to get past, but I'm really thankful that there's so many Giants fans who are so happy right now. It's been a good series. It'll be fun to watch. We are going to spend the next 3 weeks doing what's called an epilogue. It's kind of an ending, a longer ending to a previous series we just had, and namely the book of Habakkuk that we looked through. We're going to look at three texts from the New Testament. This tiny book of Habakkuk is quoted three times in the New Testament in three tremendously powerful passages that we'll see kind of brings about different contexts for us to understand the text, namely the text of Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous will live by faith. And those three texts we will look at will be Romans 1, Galatians 3, and Hebrews 10. Today's discussion will be talking about that quote from Habakkuk and Romans 1 in relation to how it is we begin to live by bold faith, understanding that God is for us. So today's sermon will be for a people who really question their standing with God, who see themselves not in favor with God at all, and want to know how it is to be in a place where God has lifted them up. Next week we'll be talking about a little bit about the arrogance of faith and the humility that's required in it. And last week in Hebrews we'll be talking about the same text, the same verse, the righteous live by faith, in terms of living and persevering in difficult times. So hear the word of the Lord this morning from Romans chapter 1. I'll refer to the first verses as we go, but namely the main verses, the heart of the letter, the great text, Romans 1 verses 16 to 17. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, the purpose of salvation, to all who believe, first to the Jew, and then the Gentile. For the righteousness of God has been revealed in it," that is the gospel, "out of faith into faith," or from faith for faith, "just as it has been written, the righteous one shall live by faith." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that your word would help us to live boldly by our faith, understanding the true nature of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Margie, do you have a sheet with you at all? I think you took my notes, so. But it's entirely possible that it fell. You don't have it? Well, wow. Thus saith the Lord. Well, I knew what I was going to say, but I had a quote that I can't quote, but we'll go with it anyways. That is just amazing. I'm going to do one more look. Huh. Well, it's fun. That's right. I need some of you with good old African-American blood to say, just preach it. Preach it. But there we go. There we go. That's great. This text today is for people who stand in a place in which they understand a holy God that exists, but wonder whether or not such a God cares about them. This sermon will not be attached at all to those who have an understanding of God as a passive force that exists somewhere that you hope to tap into to get some extra energy for your day. The sermon will not be, and this text certainly is not, a text for those who understand God as maybe a kind of a peace-loving person who has no understanding of right or wrong, who has no understanding of justice or injustice, who has no understanding of what it means to live with truth. Wow, you think you found it? Where did it go? What's that? On my desk. Well, that's a good place for it to be, isn't it? Thank you so much, guys. Many people who come in their lives to an understanding that there exists a God who, at the very least, is for truth, at the very least, stands for justice, is a one who we begin to realize within ourselves is far removed from us. A God who does not feel close. A God who seems to rule in a world of such bad news, with anger and wrath, and with punishment. This is the very place in which, in fact, a long-standing churchgoer, a Christian, by the name of Martin Luther, came to one day. The year was 1519, and he was a lecturer on the New Testament in Germany, a person through whom the Lutheran Church developed and the Protestant tradition as well. And he was going back over his lectures to Romans, and it was this phrase in Romans chapter 1, in it the righteousness of God is revealed. That very phrase is the one that he said stood in his way, a phrase that he was crushed by. Because as he read that simple statement, the righteousness of God is revealed, that in it the gospel says that the righteousness of God is revealed, that the gospel is something that communicates the holiness and the powerness of God that we must attain to if it is that we are going to have a true life. And this is what he writes. I hated that word, the righteousness of God, which according to the use and the custom of the teachers that I have been taught to understand, they had taught to mean this active righteousness, as they called it, with which God is righteous and punishes the unrighteous sinner. And he said, though I lived as a monk without reproach, I felt that I was a sinner before God with an extremely disturbed conscience. I could not believe that he was placated by my satisfaction. I didn't love. No, yes, I even hated this righteous God who punishes sinners and secretly, if not blasphemously, murmuring greatly in anger with God. And I said, Lord, as if it's not enough that miserable sinners, eternally lost through their original sin, are crushed by every kind of calamity by the law of, namely the Ten Commandments, without having God to add pain upon pain by the gospel, and also by the gospel threatening us with his righteousness and wrath. Thus I raged with a fierce and with a troubled conscience. And here was the problem that he had. He read those words that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, and he says, how is it that that righteousness could be something that I can attain? Because didn't Habakkuk state And isn't it quoted by Paul? The righteous one will live by their faith. And the way he was reading that was, how is it that I become righteous so that I can begin to really live a life that is free, that is led by faith? He looked at the righteousness of God as this punishing righteousness that called him to live just like it. There's an old Latin phrase called quod inse est, and the teachers of the time had taught, how is it that you become righteous? You need to do that which was within you to become pleasing and holy to God. And such an idea crushed Luther, crushed him completely. He says, I cannot become this righteous person who can then therefore begin to live by faith. And this righteousness of God is one that I can live in constant fear of, knowing that it is not something that I can possibly even begin to attain. And I think there still is in the hearts of many the idea, an understanding of God, who is revealing holiness and truth in such a way that we mete out various circumstances in our own lives as worthy of, or understandably worthy of, his punishment. How many of you make decisions day in and day out, wondering if it's the wrong one? There will be some form of punishment coming your way from God, just waiting to, as it were, tackle you if you choose the wrong path. Now, choosing the right direction in which to go, living with integrity and character, all very important. It's not as if our understanding of the gospel suggests that there is no more truth to be had, there is no more justice to stand for, and there is no more forgiveness necessitated in our own lives. But there is a difference between living in trusting faith with God and living in constant fear of being, in the great Old Testament word, being smited. I talk with people who want to connect the dots in their lives and to say that this particular difficult time that they're going through can have a straight line drawn from it, from an angry word spoken or a wrong turn taken. And they want to connect all the dots and say, okay, this is punishment, 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 punishment. It's not. That's precisely how Martin Luther felt, but that's not what the writer of Romans is getting at. The Apostle Paul stating very clearly that to these Gentile believers in Rome, to these people who have been living and not knowing at all the gospel, they're now being told this new message about a Savior that has died for them. And in so doing, Paul wants to say that we live by bold faith when we understand and have faith in a God whose righteousness is not enacted day in and day out as a form of smiting, as a form of complete and utter punishment for every misstep that we take, but his righteousness is given to those who humbly state that it is through faith that they stand. And the great understanding of this is that this righteousness of God that is revealed in the gospel is not a righteousness that stands over you and punishes you day in and day out. It is a righteousness that is given to you, as it were, kind of as a cloak. The fancy word has been imputed, but it states that I am not in myself righteous. I can never become righteous. There's nothing I can do to kind of clean out the mess that is within me. There is no quote in the yes. There's no doing my best in order that God might be pleased with me. It is a standard which I will always fail. But yet the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel is that when we are humbly coming to the Lord in faith, He gives us what's called an alien righteousness. It's a righteousness outside of ourselves. It's a cloak that puts us, cloaks us, as it were, around us, so that when God looks at us, when God sees us day in and day out, He doesn't see, as it were, the mess within that He wants to destroy. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is now covering us, holding us. It's a new cloak, a garment, as it were, put around us, so that God sees Christ within us. A righteousness not with inside of us, but that which is given to us outside of ourselves through Jesus Christ. And Luther, as he was beginning to reflect on this, and he says, meditating day and night, I finally looked at the words and the context, namely, in the righteousness of God, the gospel is revealed, as it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. And there I began to understand the righteousness of God is that by which is a righteousness given to me as a gift by the gospel. That it is not the one who becomes righteous will live, therefore, through faith, but the one who, with faith, receives the righteousness of God will begin to live. That phrase is so tremendously important from Habakkuk. Can you parse it out? The righteous, that is to say, the ones that have a right standing with God. That word righteousness, dikaiosune, is a law court metaphor. It says, it doesn't mean necessarily that you are yourself righteous within. It means that the court declares in your favor. That is to say, you come and you plead your case. You may be very awful, but in particular this case, you've pled your case. The judge rules in your favor. You are therefore righteous. You have a standing of righteous, even though within yourself you may not be. And this righteousness is something that God gives in a declaration that through faith, when there's nothing for us to have, through faith, we put our faith and our trust in Christ, a declaration is given to us. Righteous. And no one can say, in light of that declaration, I deserved it. I had it coming. No. By faith, we are given a gift that God looks at us and declares righteous. And why are we righteous? Because Christ is the gospel. So we read in the first chapter, the first few verses of Romans, that Paul is an apostle of God through the Holy Scriptures, declaring the gospel concerning his Son, the good news of Christ. And when one puts their faith in Christ and are given a declaration that they are righteous now, they can stand before God, they begin, therefore, to live. By faith, the righteous live. What kind of life? Does that mean you just get a few more years added? A few more breaths in the lungs? No. It's a real life. It's a life that can't be taken from you. It's a life that understands that day in and day out, we live for more than just this day. We live for all days. We live for eternity. And we live now a life which we will live forever. A life trusting in the Lord. A life of joy. And one day, a life where there'll be no more tears. No more pain, no more heartache, and no more sorrow. The righteous, Habakkuk says, will live by faith. And Paul says the righteous will live by faith. The idea that is present here is that it's said both for the Jews and for the Gentiles. It communicates to everybody that through faith we do not stand nor need to live in fear of God. Apart from faith, though, we just may. Because apart from faith, there is no declaration of righteousness. Apart from faith, there is no hope. And apart from faith, there is no good news of the gospel. And lives will begin to play themselves out in such a way that demonstrates that they are far from understanding or living in light of what is, in fact, good news. But for the person who wants to stand in relationship with the holy God, and for those of you who have lived maybe with that understanding of fear, like Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a churchgoer his whole life. The reality of church doesn't itself eliminate the idea of false understandings of God. Maybe for many of you who have gone to church your whole life and you understand God as a capricious God waiting to strike when you have fallen. Today, the word is, you live by faith. And you receive righteous standing before God only by faith. That you appropriate the good news of Jesus Christ into your heart only by faith. And that you can only have a life that is itself a life that can never be taken from you only by faith. Those words, by faith, are the most important. Because you take away by faith, and there is no life, there is no righteousness, and there will only be a God to be feared the rest of your life. The gospel gives a God to whom you can live with joy and not with fear. Do you believe in the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ? Because only through him can you walk through this world with devil's fills, and we'll hear this in the next song, with a trust that you will be strong enough to do it because the Lord Almighty is with you, your fortress, your strength, one who will never let you go. Let's pray.